Glory to you, O Lord. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The dominion of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear ones, what a week to open up the assigned scriptures and read about being bound by hand and foot and thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This week, I am far too aware of the reality of weeping and gnashing of teeth. In fact, I struggle to turn my eyes and my attention away from such things. Maybe you are also struggling with that this week. Add to that, add to our current context, the fact that this parable in which the weeping and gnashing of teeth occurs is full of complexity and confusion in any time or place that we would try to understand it. And so you may be asking today, what exactly does it mean when Jesus says the Father invites everyone, good and bad, to the wedding feast, and then judges the one who comes without the right clothes? In my experience, some folks have really good, easy answers for this. Also, in my experience, whenever Jesus becomes simple to understand, we're probably doing it wrong. So we're going to try today to understand what Jesus was saying. Looking to Jesus' parable of the wedding feast, we see that many were invited to the banquet, and the vast majority decided not to come. No to dinner, no to the party, no to the celebration that the Father was so excited to share, the celebration of life and love. No. And because so many said no, everyone from the street got to come. Good and bad, it says in the scriptures. All were invited to the party, and they accepted, which I completely understand because I never turned down a good meal. Amen? But one person came without a wedding robe, okay? Now, the scripture text doesn't tell us if that person was one of the good ones or the bad ones. It said the good and the bad were invited. We don't know. Who was he or she? We don't know. It doesn't tell us if that person was rich or poor, or if that person was a friend or a foe of the host at the party. We don't know anything. All we know is that that guest walked into the banquet dressed inappropriately. Now, in spite of the generous invitation, in spite of this party that this person was invited to, in spite of the fatted calf, this guest disrespected the host. And for this reason, because he showed up dressed wrongly, there was going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And what does this mean? Was bedeutet das? For the Lutherans in the room. In one way, this story seems to go against everything we know about Jesus, right? Because we say all the time, all are welcome. All are invited to the table. Jesus died once and for all. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus died once and for all. Amen. Amen. Okay. But also, as my dad used to tell me, he would say, when I was trying to explain myself for the silly things I did as a teenager, he would say, there are no ifs, ands, or buts in this conversation. No ifs, ands, or buts. Except that maybe in this situation there's an and. Okay? Maybe there's an and when it comes to discipleship and following Jesus. In light of the events of the last week, and many other weeks, by the way, what this word says to me, what this parable says to me, is that the call to follow Jesus, the call to the table, the call to be the body of Christ in the world is not something to be taken lightly. It's not an invitation that we take lightly. The love, grace, mercy, welcome, and wisdom we have received from God, the Creator, through Jesus crucified and risen, is a gift that we dare not sniff at or return to sender. If we say that we have accepted the free invitation to feast luxuriously on food which we have not labored for, then the least we can do is show up in our Sunday best. Now I want to tell you, this is not about a dress code right now. You come in any way you want. I almost always have sandals on. Every time you can wear your jeans, shorts, I don't care. People have told me that Krister Stendahl would preach in shorts, so whatever. This is not about a dress code at church. I'm talking about showing up as a disciple and what that looks like. Showing up in your Sunday best for the dumpster fire that is our world today might look like having to really understand who do we stand with and why. Who are we? Who do we say we are? And we are being tested in this regard right now. Being a faithful follower of Jesus is beyond complex at this moment. It's not as simple as saying we side with the oppressed over the oppressor. It's not as simple as saying we side with Israel because they have been our regional allies, or that we side with Palestinians because they've been under occupation for more than 70 years. These are both true things, but here is what I know for sure. Jesus did not invite us to come to the banquet so that we would show up with the worst part of our humanity hanging out for everybody to see. And I'll tell you what that looks like, because I saw it in this community this week. The worst part of humanity was hanging out for everybody to see when there was a bus driving around this community with pictures of Arab students from Harvard scrolling on the sides of the bus saying that they were the Harvard's most famous anti-Semites. And then it said HarvardHatesJews.com on the bottom of the bus. And I called the police twice on these people because they parked in front of this church. My friend Laura, who is the head of the Massachusetts Council of Churches, she said to me, you know what? It's like that person looked at the situation in the world today and said, how can I make it worse? And then really leaned into that. How can I really make it worse? When we show up to the wedding feast, friends, we don't want the worst of our humanity to be hanging out for everybody to see. We want to be properly dressed. And what does that look like? What does it look like for us as Christians today to be properly dressed for the feast? It means we will not continue anti-Semitic tropes in any way, shape, or form. And we also will not drive buses around Harvard with anti-Islamic tropes and doxing our Arab neighbors. We will not celebrate the deaths of anyone. And we also will not give in to cynicism or retribution or vengeance or apathy. Instead, we will show up to God's banquet in our Sunday best. We will look deeply, therefore, at ourselves and at our country and the part we have played in what is unfolding in the Middle East. With God's help, I pray that we will fight like hell to preserve our humanity in the face of inhumane acts and divisive rhetoric. One of my Palestinian friends, Osama, recently said to me, in the delicate balance of holding humanity, there's no room to strike it with the other hand. Think about that. If we are holding humanity with both hands, we don't have another hand to be striking other people. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to listen to my friend and colleague, Lutheran pastor, the Reverend Munther Isak, pastor at Christmas Lutheran Church in Bethlehem. I listened to him speak to a group, and then I was texting with him later, and he told me that his best friend's mother is seeking shelter in a church in Gaza. In fact, nearly all the Christians in Gaza, who are a very tiny minority, are now living in the churches there. Pastor Munther said to me, they don't have any more bread, but someone just delivered flour to them, and they're so excited to make bread for Sunday morning. They're so excited that they can make bread for tomorrow. Dear ones, my hope is that this is how we come dressed to the banquet. Excited because we have flour. Excited because we can make bread for tomorrow. Not just because of this conflict, but because of every day. I want to leave you with a poem, and I'm kind of laughing at myself because in seminary, there was a way they taught us to preach, which was like 3 points in a poem, make 3 points and then end with a poem. And I don't know if I even made 3 points, but I am gonna end with the poem. This is by Israeli poet Yehuda Amichai, one of my very, very favorites. And the poem is called Wild Peace. Keep in mind that this is translated from Hebrew. It might sound more beautiful in Hebrew. Wild peace. Not the peace of a ceasefire, not even the vision of the wolf and the lamb, but rather as in the heart, when the excitement is over and you can talk only about a great weariness. I know that I know how to kill. That makes me an adult. And my son plays with a toy gun that knows how to open and close its eyes and say, Mama. A peace, without the big noise of beating swords into plowshares, without words, without the thud of the heavy rubber stamp, let it be light, floating like lazy white foam, a little rest for the wounds. Who speaks of healing? And the howl of the orphans is passed from one generation to the next. As in a relay race, the baton never falls. Let it come like wildflowers, suddenly, because the field must have it. Wild peace. Amen.